The Christian Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17b, and the Sword of the Spirit, chapter 3. The divinity of the Scripture shown, and the sufficiency of its own testimony to prove the same, that the Holy Scriptures are the undoubted Word of God. By the Scriptures, I mean the Old and New Testament contained in the Bible, both which are that one foundation whereupon our faith is built. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, quote, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, unquote. That is the doctrine which God, by them, hath delivered unto his church, for they were under the unerring guidance of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16, quote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed by God. It came as truly and immediately from his very mind and heart as our breath does from within our bodies. Yea, both matter and words are indicted by God, for the things which they spake were not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, unquote. 1 Corinthians 2:12. God did not give them a theme to dilate and enlarge upon with their own parts and abilities, but confined them to what he indicated. They were but his tools to write his infallible dictate, or as so many scribes to transcribe what the Spirit of God laid before them. This is given as the reason why no Scripture is to be understood by our private fancy or conceit, but we are to take the meaning of it from itself as we find one place clear as another, because it came not from the private spirit of any man at first, but holy men spake as they were moved, or carried, by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 compared. The power that makes the law must expound it. But maybe some will say, do you bring Scripture to bear witness for itself? The question is, whether the Scripture be the Word of God. And you tell us the Scripture saith so, and is that enough? This would carry weight if it were the word of some sorry creature that stood upon trial. But a greater than man is here. Men need arguments and witnesses to prove and vouch what they say to be true. But the Word of God is a sufficient witness to itself, because what truth itself saith can be no other than a sincere and true testimony. Christ, who thought it derogatory to the dignity of his person to borrow credit from man's testimony, did yet refer himself to the report that the Scriptures made of him, and was willing to stand or fall in the opinion of his very enemies, as the testimony thereof should be found concerning him, John 5:34, compared with verse 39. And therefore their testimony may well pass for themselves. He that cannot see this sun by its own light may in vain think to find it with the light of human testimony and argument. Not that these are useless. The testimony of the church is highly to be reverenced, because to it are these oracles of God delivered, to be kept as a sacred deposit. Yea, it is called the pillar and the ground of truth, 1 Timothy 3:15, and the candlestick, Revelation 1:12, from whence the light of the Scriptures shine forth into the world. But who will say that the proclamation of a prince hath its authenticity from the pillar it hangs on in the market cross, or that the candle hath its light from the candlestick? The office of the church is ministerial, to publish and make known the Word of God, but not magistratal or absolute, to make it Scripture or unmake it, as she is pleased to allow or deny. This were to send God to man for his hand and seal, and to do by the Scriptures, as Tertullian saith in his Apology, the heathen did with their gods, who were to pass the Senate and gain their goodwill, before they might be esteemed deities by the people. And does not the Church of Rome thus, by the Scriptures, sending us to the Pope for leave to believe Scripture to be Scripture? The blasphemous speech of Hermanus, H-E-R-M-A-N-U-S, is notoriously known, who said that the Scriptures did tentum veria quantum, and then A-E-S-O-P-I, and then fabula, nisa, A-C-C-E-D-U-T, ecclesia testimonium. Or how like is Rome to Rome, superstitious Rome to pagan Rome, We need not travel so far to be determined in this case. The scripture itself will save us the pains of this wearisome journey, being more able to satisfy us of its own divine extraction than the Pope sitting in his popery chair with all his cardinals about him. Neither is there any necessity to ask for a messenger to ascend on high, who may from heaven bring down their letters testimonial unto us, seeing they bear heaven's superscription so fairly written upon their own forehead, which denies them to proceed from any but God himself. May a particular man be known from a thousand others by his face, voice, or handwriting. Certainly this cannot seem strange that the God of heaven would be discerned from his sorry creatures by his voice and the writing in the sacred scriptures. Do we not see that he hath interwoven his glorious name so in the works of creation that they speak his power and Godhead and call him Maker in their thoughts, who never read the Bible nor heard of such a book, so that they could not steal the notion thence, but had it from the dictates of their own consciences, extorting the acknowledgement of a deity, and much more will an enlightened conscience and sanctified heart be commanded by the overpowering evidence that shine forth in the scriptures to fall down and cry. It is the voice of God and not any creature that speaks in them. Indeed, the grand truths and chief notions found in the scriptures are so condonatory into the principles of grace, which the same Holy Spirit is, who is the inditer of them, hath planted in the hearts of all the saints, that their souls even spring and leap by the reading and hearing of them, as the babe did in Elizabeth's womb by the salutation of Virgin Mary. The lamb doth not more certainly know her dam in the midst of a whole flock, at whose beating she passes by them all to come to be sucked by her, taking then the sheep of Christ know his voice in the saving truths of the scriptures, the sincere milk thereof they desire, and are taught of God to taste and discern from all other. Indeed, till the soul be thus enlightened and wrought upon by the Spirit of God, he may have his mouth stopped by such arguments for the divinity of them as he cannot answer, but he will never be persuaded to rest on them and cordially embrace them as the Word of God, as we see in the scribes and Pharisees, who often were confounded and struck down speechless by the dint of Christ's words. Yet, as those wretches sent to attack the person of Christ rose up from the earth, where the majesty of Christ's deity, looking out upon them, had thrown them graveling, to lay violent hands on him, so those obdurate Pharisees and scribes, after all their convictions, returned to oppose the doctrine he preached, and that most of them unto death. Yea, that part of the scripture which they seemed to cry out so highly, the law of Moses, and made the ground of their quarrel against Christ, our Savior, is bold to tell them that, as great admirers as they were thereof, they did not so much as believe it to be the Word of God. How could they, indeed, have a divine faith on it, who wanted the Spirit of God, which alone works it? John 5:46, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Erasmus tells his friend in a letter that he met with many things charged on Luther by the monks for heresies, which in Augustine passed among them for sound truths. But certainly they did not really believe them to be truths in Augustine, which they condemned in Luther. Neither did the Pharisees in truth believe what Moses wrote, because they opposed Christ, who did but verify what Moses before from God's mouth had spoken. But because when the Spirit of God comes to raise the heart to a belief of the Word of God, he doth it by putting his own weight and force to those arguments which are crouched in the Word, and so leave the print or character of them sealed upon the soul. Thereof I shall draw out an argument or two among many that are to be found in the Scripture itself, proving the parentage thereof to be divine. I know it is a beaten path. I am now walking in, and I shall rather speak the same things for substance, which you may meet in many others, only a little afterwise sharp. For my own part, I think it more wisdom to borrow a sword of proven metal at another's hands than to go with a weak leaden one of my own in the field and come home beaten for my own folly and pride. End of chapter 3.